This recording features Rabbi Shalom Gold, the Rabbi Emeritus of the Young Israel of West Hempstead, and the Rabbi of Beis Knesset Zichron Yosef in Har Nof, Jerusalem. His topic is, If I Forget Thee, Jerusalem.
Yerushalayim has always evoked strong feelings and sharp images in the minds and hearts of Jews. Yerushalayim is indelibly inscribed, eternally imprinted on the consciousness and soul of the Jew. Yerushalayim, its very name, is awe-inspiring, its physical beauty majestic, its spirituality pervasive. Wherever the Jew turns, he confronts Yerushalayim. In prayer, and as he stands in prayer, turning toward Yerushalayim, in benching in Birchat HaMazon, in Nevi'im and Ketuvim, in Mishnah, in Medrash, in Talmud, at a wedding, Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. Fascinatingly enough, I found in a Siddur that before a bris, before a circumcision, father of the child should say silently to himself, Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, Tidbak Lashoni Lechiki, Im Lo Eskerechi, Im Lo E'elet Yerushalayim Alosh Simchasi, at the moment of my greatest joy, I remember Yerushalayim. The entire life cycle of the Jew is punctuated with Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim evokes the images of David HaMelech and Shlomo, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, and the Ramban. Gedolei Yisrael, plain Jews of all times, inextricably intertwined with Yerushalayim. And though exiled from her, we've never forgotten her. Though distant, we were never far. Though removed, we were never separated. There are even those places in davening where we may not always remember that we there were praying for Yerushalayim in the blessings after the Haftarah, Shabbos and Yontif, Rachem al Tzion, ki hi beit chayenu, v'la aluvat nefesh, toshia, b'meherav yomenu. Have mercy on Tzion, for it is the source of our life. What a statement, for it is the source of our life. To the one, Yerushalayim, who is deeply humiliated, God brings salvation speedily in our day. And the bracha concludes, Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you, God, Misameach Tzion Bevaneha, who brings joy to Tzion through her children. Her only joy can be by being joined with her children. And under the chuppah in Sheva Brachos, Sos Tosis V'Togel HaAkarah B'Kibbutz Boneha L'Tocha B'Simcha, bring intense joy and exaltation to the barren one through the ingathering of her children amidst her in gladness. And again the bracha, same ending, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you God, Misameach Tzion Devaneha, who brings joy and happiness to Tzion through her children. And of course in the Sheva Brachos we continue with Mehero Hashem Elokeinu, Yishama B'Yarei Yehuda, speedily, O God, let be heard in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Yerushalayim, Kol Soson V'Kol Simcha, Kol Choson V'Kol Kala. So many places in our Shemoneh Esrei, in Berachas HaMazon, in the Al HaMichya, in Zmiris of Shabbos, we sing of Yerushalayim, Karto de Shufraya Yerushalayim, the city of great beauty. Rachem b'chazdecho al amcho tzureinu al tzion mishkan kevodecho, Rebbeinu Shalom, have great mercy on Tzion. Tzion mishkan kevodecho. After a period of 19 years, from Tavshin Chet to Tavshin Chav Zayin, 1948 to 1967, after 19 years of complete separation from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, completely distant from the Kotel HaMa'aravi, but not estranged, came one beautiful summer morning in Yerushalayim, Chof Chet Iyar. The morning dawned with a crystal clear blue sky. There was a sense in the air of great things that are about to happen. I always have this image of the very angels in heaven themselves, their wings flapping with great expectancy. There's a tension that cuts through the air. They know that this is the day upon which God has destined that Yerushalayim and her children, the Akoha and Boneho, the barren one and her children, are going to be rejoined. After 2,000 years, Yerushalayim is going to become the property of Klal Yisrael once again. The 86th battle for the city had begun early in the morning, and it was Klal Yisrael coming to reclaim that which belongs to Klal Yisrael. For 19 years, there was an obscene and an ugly comparison. Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, and Berlin, the city of evil, the two cities in the world that were divided by barbed wire and by walls. Those were indeed wailing walls. That ugly and obscene comparison came to a crushing end in a day of great brilliance and glory, on a day of great chesed. Rabbeinu Shlomo had decided Klal Yisrael is returning home. There was great excitement, there was tension, there was the blessed impatience in heaven looking down as Klal Yisrael made its way in a storm of thunder back into Yerushalayim. Klal Yisrael returns to Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim returns to Klal Yisrael. There's a story that I read some years ago in a book about the battle for Yerushalayim that was written by Abraham Rabinovich. He describes those glorious moments. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning, and Israeli paratroopers are hurrying through the byways, the little streets, the alleyways of Yerushalayim, the sound of gunfire in the air. But here they are, young soldiers, paratroopers. They're 19, 20 years old. They have no idea where the Kotel is. As they're hurrying through the streets of the old city of Yerushalayim, they see a frightened young man standing in an alleyway. They assure him that they will cause him no harm. All they want to know is, how do they get to the Kotel and to Har HaBayit, to the Temple Mount? Frightened, trembling, shaking, this young man pointed the way and gave them directions, and he stood there in the hallway, and he watched Israeli soldiers make their way to the Kotel, up to the Temple Mount. He saw the Israeli flag going up over the Temple Mount, and then came the great message of Har HaBayit Biyadeinu, Har HaBayit Biyadeinu, the Temple Mount is in our hands, the Temple Mount is in our hands. Who was that young man? That young man's name was Mohammed Daoud Schleifer, a New York-born Jew by the name of Mark David Schleifer, who had converted to Islam, married a Jordanian girl, and was working in Yerushalayim. He ends the story by saying, what a strange witness to the greatest moment in 2,000 years of Jewish history. Strange, tragic. He sees this great moment but has absolutely no way of understanding or comprehending or assimilating. He's completely lost. He has no way of appreciating what's taking place now. He's estranged from his people. The great event is there before his very eyes. He witnesses it, but he sees nothing. What a profound tragedy. Mark David Schleifer most probably was at his bris called Mordechai David Schleifer. And here's Mordechai David, Mohammed Daoud, standing there, unable to comprehend. Blindness. Does one necessarily have to be a Mark David Schleifer to be blind or insensitive to the great moments in Jewish history? I'm afraid to say that I have the feeling that there are those who, even being Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, can be unaware, not tuned in to the great moments of Jewish history, not tuned in to what has taken place during the course of the last 50 years, from the establishment of the State of Israel through the liberation of Yerushalayim. The hand of God in history, and we don't always see it, we don't always sense it, we're not fully cognizant, we're not aware of what's really happening. I recall an incident when I was still living in New York. It was after Pesach of 1982. I was at a dinner in the New York Hilton, one of the major institutions of Torah, as they usually have their dinners in the in Manhattan. So here I was at the dinner. I had come in from West Hempstead, and I was sitting at a table with old friends from yeshiva days. It was a Sunday night. So one of them asked me, "No, Reb Shalom, what did you speak about in your sermon yesterday?" So I told him, "Listen, there's only one topic that one could talk about. That day was the day in which the city of Yamit was ground into the sands of Sinai. Yeshuvim, Jewish cities were destroyed. So I told them that, listen, I spoke about the terrible tragedy of Yamit. I had the distinct feeling, and it was expressed, that they looked at me as though they didn't understand where I'm coming from. Somebody even made the remark, "Well, you know, American rabbis, they get their sermons from the New York Times." I saw a complete lack of sensitivity to what was happening in Eretz Yisrael. Completely unaware. They were so involved in their lives that they had no place for Eretz Yisrael. I was terribly saddened. I felt that there is even no way for me to explain to them. If one is lacking the sense, if one has this blindness, and it doesn't have to be a Mark David Schleifer, what can you do about it? But the Rebbein Shalom helps sometimes. The Rebbein Shalom comes through, and comes through well. The guest speaker at that dinner was Avram Shapiro, who was then head of Agudas Yisrael, and he had come in that day to speak at this dinner. And here was a star-studded cast of Gedolei Yisrael who was sitting upon the dais, and Rabbi Avram Shapiro got up to speak, and he said, "I know that I've come to speak for this great Torah institution. However, how is it possible for a Jew today not to speak about the tragedy of Yamit?" And for 20 minutes, he described that he was a special messenger of the Ger Rebbe to get through Israeli lines and to speak to Jews who are in Yamit, to give them encouragement, to speak to those who had threatened that they were going to commit suicide, not to do so. He spoke movingly of the tragedy of Yamit. As I looked around the table, every head at the table went down in shame. They realized that they were not tuned in to the events of Jewish history. They were not tuned in to the significance and the importance of what's taking place at that moment in Klal Yisrael. One has to have an ability to see, an ability to be aware. God forbid that we should be Mark David Schleifers. It is our responsibility to see the events, to see Hashgacha Pratis, to see divine providence, to see the hand of God. And more than any other place, that hand is seen in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is the great challenge that confronts Klal Yisrael today. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says, an interesting word, we say it in Hallel all of the time, B'chatzrod Beit Hashem, in the courtyards of the house of God, B'tochechi Yerushalayim, in your midst, Yerushalayim. Strange word, B'tochechi. The Pasuk should have said, B'tochech. In you, Yerushalayim, within your courtyards, within your streets. What kind of word is B'tochechi? Says the Ksav HaKabbalah that B'tochechi is one of the composite words in Tanakh. It's made up of two words. It's made up of B'tochech, I am in your midst, and B'tochi, you are in my midst. Not only is the Jew in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim has to be in the Jew. In order to more fully comprehend the significance of historic events, I always want to quote, and let's begin with the name of Yerushalayim itself, its great significance. The famous Medrash that says, Avraham kara oto, Avraham called that place Yireh. God shall be seen. Shenem, as it says at the end of the Akedah, Vayikra Avraham Shem HaMokam Ahu Hashem Yireh, Avraham called the name of that place and God shall be seen. Shem, the son of Noach, kara oto Shalem, called the name of that place Shalem. Shenem, as it says in Parashat Lech Lecha, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Im korei ani ota Yireh, kishem shekara oto Avraham, if I call that place Yireh, as Avraham had called it, Shem, Adam Tzadik Mitraim, Shem, who is a righteous person, is going to be upset. Vim korei ani oto Shalem, and if I call the place Shalem, Avraham, Adam Tzadik Mitraim, Avraham, who is a righteous person, is going to be upset. Elo korei ani oto, I'm going to call the name of that place Yerushalayim, Kemosha Kor Ushneim, as both of them called it Yireh and Shalem, the name Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, therefore, itself is also a composite of two names, the name given to the place by Avram and the name given to the place by Shem, Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem. On its simplest level, of course, the Medrash is saying that the only place on the face of this earth that is given its name by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is Yerushalayim. The only city. It is God's city. It is the holy city. I wondered why indeed does God give Avram's name before Shem's name? Won't Shem be upset that God calls it Yireh Yerushalayim instead of Shalem Yireh? Remember, Shem called it Shalem first. Number of answers are given, but I would like to explain it with the very beautiful Meshech Chochmah, Rameya Simcha, on the Pasuk Vayikra Avraham Shem HaMakom Ahu Hashem Yireh. And on this Medrash, Rameya Simcha Kei Midvinsk says, as is understood in the name Yerushalayim, Tosfos in Masechet Taina says that Yerushalayim is spelled without a yud between the lamed and the mem. It's written as though it says Yerushalem. Why is there no yud there? Because Shem had given it the name Shalem. God does not want to tamper with the name as it was given by Shem. But we read it, we vocalize it, Yerushalayim. What does an ayim ending mean in Lashon Kodesh? It always means the plural. One eye is ayin. Two eyes are a nayim. Regel raglayim. Yerushalem is one, Yerushalayim is, there is a duality. There are two messages to Yerushalayim. So first of all, of course, the name is made up of two names, Yireh and Shalem. Gemara says there is a Yerushalayim Shalmala, and there's a Yerushalayim Shalmata, there is a Yerushalayim above in the very heavens. God has a city of Yerushalayim there close to him, and then he has a Yerushalayim Shalmata. The Meir Simcha says that Shem, the son of Noach, and Avraham, each confronted different challenges. Both Shem and Avraham faced two distinctly different problems. Shem found himself in a world that had lost its way, a world that had sunk into depravity, violence, perversion. The relationship between man and fellow man had reached its lowest ebb to the point that the Rebbeinu Shalom had to destroy the world, the Malbim. The task that faced Shem, the son of Noach, was to rebuild character, personality, to make the human being human again, to give him a sense of understanding, of mercy, pity, compassion, concern for fellow man. And therefore, Shem, the son of Noach, spent a year in the ark, together with all of animal kind, and learned how to be kind to all creatures. And that was the task that he had when he emerged from the Teva. His task was to rebuild, to restructure, to refine human character and personality. Therefore, he called the name of the place Shalem, Shlemut. A fulfilled and complete human being is a human being with purity of personality and beauty of character. Avraham Avinu faced a different challenge. The challenge that faced him was an intellectual one. A world that had set God aside, had forgotten him, had rejected him. And Avraham, all alone, is the one who undertakes, as a result of his great genius, he arrives at a conclusion that there is a God, there is a creator, Yesh Manhig Labira, there is a one and only omnipotent, omniscient, first cause, prime mover. And he has to bring that message to an entire world. He has to bring the message of an intellectual and philosophical approach in which God is the one who is the creator, and it is the will of God that stands above all else. Therefore, Avraham calls the name of the place Yireh. He looks forward to the time that God will be seen by man. God will make himself seen. He will appear to a world. A world will see him. I have a feeling, therefore, that the reason why the name given by Avraham precedes the name given by Shem is because God is sending a message. Yes, Shem, you are Adam Tzaddik, you're a righteous person. But the fact is that morality and ethics and goodness and character and personality can only be fulfilled and completed and perfected in a world in which there is Yirat Shamayim, a world that sees God. Without godliness, there will be no character or personality. It will not exist. Avraham is right. Yireh must precede Shalem. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The first, the beginning of all wisdom, is the fear of God. The name of the place, yes, made up of two names, a composite. But ultimately, it is through Avraham that a world will achieve perfection. Through a Jewish Yerushalayim will a world be able to raise its level of spirituality. It is the Yireh of Avraham that's going to make all of the difference, all of the difference in the world. So that we have to look at Yerushalayim very carefully. We have to see Yerushalayim within the context of history. We have to be able to sense the greatness of the days in which we live and the challenges that confront us. I had once said
In the Megillah, we learn, Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Habira, there was a Yehudi in Shushan Habira, Shmo Mordechai Ben Yor Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ish Yemini, and his name was Mordechai, the son of Yor, the son of Kish Ish Yemini. And there is a discussion in the Gemara in Megillah, Ish Yehudi means that he's from the tribe of Yehuda, Ish Yemini means that he's from the tribe of Binyamin. Which one is it? Is he from Yehuda or is he from Binyamin? There are a number of answers that are given by the Gemara. There are those who say his father was from Binyamin and his mother was from Yehuda. There are also opinions in the Gemara that say that the tribe of Yehuda took credit for Mordechai. The tribe of Binyamin took credit for him. I have a feeling that the Pasuk is telling us something very profound. I remember when I lived in West Hempstead, there was an old Jew who had spent some time in the home of Rav Meir Simcha HaKohen of Dvinsk. Every time I saw that little old Jew, I felt connected with Rav Meir Simcha. He was my attachment. He was my link in the chain to previous generations. I had a feeling as though I was in the presence of Rav Meir Simcha when I talked to that Jew, when I saw him walking in the street. I remember that old Jew had told me that 1930 or 31, he had seen the Chofetz Chaim in the train station in Warsaw. I felt by looking at him a connection to the Chofetz Chaim. A great deal had changed by Klal Yisrael from the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash to 69 years later when the Purim story takes place. Jews had become part of the great Persian Empire. Jews were participating in the party of Ahasuerus. But there was one Jew that walked the streets of Shushan. One Jew who remained absolutely faithful to the oath that had been taken 69 years earlier at the banks of the rivers of Babylon, Al Naharos Bavel, when Klal Yisrael lifted their hands and they said, Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, if I forget you, Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, let my right hand forget its cunning. Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Abira, there was a Jew in Shushan Abira whose name was Mordechai ben Yoir ben Shimi ben Kish Ish Yemini, a man who remained absolutely faithful and loyal to the great oath of Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. If you wanted to see what a Jew of a previous generation looked like, there he was. He walked the streets of Shushan. He walked the streets of Shushan. There you could see him. In fact, ultimately, Mordechai went on Aliyah. Mordechai left all of the greatness and went to Eretz Yisrael. My favorite Rashi in Chumash is a Rashi that from a historic point of view means a great deal to me. It's the famous first Rashi in Chumash. Bereishis Bara Elokim, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. This is a Rashi that I always tell my students. Somebody wakes you up in the middle of the night, you should be able to say this Rashi from memory. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak says, Lo hayotzorech lahatchil et ha-Torah ela mi-achodesh hazelochem, shehi mitzvah rishona shenitztavu Yisrael. Torah should have begun, not at Bereshit, at the beginning of the story of creation. Torah is a book of legislation, then it should have started in Parshat Bo, in Sefer Shemot, where the first mitzvah is given to the Jewish people, that Nisan is the first of months. Umatam, Rashi asks, Umatam Pasah with Bereshit, why does Torah begin with the story of Bereshit, of creation? So Rashi quotes the Pasuk in Tilim Mishum, Korach Masav Higit Liyamo Latet Lehem Nachalat Goyim, the strength of his great deeds God told to his people in order to give them an inheritance of nations. Shem Yomru Umot Ha'olam LeYisrael, if the nations of the world will say to Israel, Listem Atem, you are thieves. Shekovashtem Arzos Shiva Goyim, you conquered the lands of the seven nations. Heim Omrim Lehem, Klal Yisrael says to the nations of the world, Kol Ha'aretz V'la Kodesh Baruch, the entire world belongs to God. Hu b'ra'ah, he created the world. Bereshis bara lekim, he created it. V'natnal asher yashar be'inav, and he gave it to whom found favor in his eyes. B'ditzono, it was his will, notna lahem, he gave Eretz Yisrael to them. U'b'ditzono, and it was his will, notla mehem, he took it from them. V'natnal lanu, and he gave it, and he gave it to us. What's so fascinating about this Rashi is that every time we've been condemned, and we've been condemned very often by the United Nations, by the European Community, most recently 134 countries condemned Klal Yisrael for planning to build on Har Choma in Yerushalayim. So there was a point in time in which I used to get upset every time we were condemned. And then I studied this Rashi again. Can you imagine precisely what Rashi wrote 900 years ago, what Rabbi Yitzchak said? Who would have ever thought during the course of the last 900 years that we would be accused of being thieves? Here we were, scattered, dispersed amongst the nations of the world. When will there ever be a time that the nations of the world will say, you're thieves, you stole this land? Today, every time we're condemned, I say to myself, Baruch Hashem, Rashi was right. Yes, there will come a time that we will be told by the nation of the world, you're thieves, you stole it, it's not yours. And our response is going to be to them and to ourselves, God created the world, Bereshit Bara Elokim. He created it and he gave it. He gave it to us. I imagine to myself a Rebbe in Auschwitz secretly learning Chumash with little children who don't know how much longer they have to live. And the Rebbe says, Kindolach, let's begin to learn Torah. And he learns with them the Pasuk of Bereshis, Bara Elokim et HaShemayim et HaAretz, and he learns the first Rashi. Only the nations of the world are going to say that we're thieves because we took Eretz Yisrael, and if a little five-year-old is going to ask his Rebbe, Rebbe, we don't even own our lives anymore. We don't know how much longer we have to live. We've been stripped of everything in this world. We are a people being destroyed and crushed. What's Rashi talking about? Rashi says that we're going to be accused of taking Eretz Yisrael. Nothing is ours. Our lives don't belong to us. What kind of response could a Rebbe have given to that question for 900 years or more? A Rebbe most probably, with tears coming down his cheek, would have to say, Kindalach, Yingala, my dear students, if Rashi wrote it, then we have to have faith that someday it's going to be true. Someday it's going to be true. For 900 years, one had to learn this Rashi with a great leap of faith. We don't need faith anymore. We can read this Rashi and say, Rashi was right, true, everything is so. Yes, they're going to accuse us. We're going to have Eretz Yisrael. We're going to have Yerushalayim. They're going to want to take it from us. They're going to call us thieves. Rashi was right. All the faith of 900 years, the faith with which Jews learned a Rashi, and I think it's true of anything, psukim that we may not understand, the halacha that we may not understand, we have to have the betachon, the trust, and the belief, and the emuna, and the faith that it's emes lamito, absolute truth, and someday we will fully understand. Just as we learned this Rashi for all of these years, and now we finally understand and we realize that every word that Rashi said was absolutely, absolutely true. But we have to have the patience. And after we have the patience, we have to have the ability to see history, to see the events that are taking place before our very eyes, to appreciate them, to internalize them, to understand that the events that take place in Eretz Yisrael are not something distant from the Jew, but they are betocheichi, they are in my midst. We are the generation that has had the merit to be the beneficiaries of God's great chesed. On that Chof Chet Iyar, that 28th day of Iyar, in 1967, in the Sfira, on that day we say Chesed Shebemalchus, that was the great kindness of royalty, God's greatness. God's greatness expressed itself to its people on that day. Chesed Shebemalchus. Eretz Yisrael has to be close to us, Yerushalayim. Not only us in Yerushalayim, but Yerushalayim in us. Why were we Zeicher? Why were we the generation to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yerushalayim? Not necessarily because of our merit. So Asema says that it is the cumulative prayers of Klal Yisrael over the generations. For 2,000 years, Klal Yisrael prayed, and all of those prayers came up before God. They were weighed, they were measured, they were cherished. And ultimately, we were the ones that were Zeicher, not our merit, but the merit of all those generations. We have to understand, therefore, that we have a tremendous responsibility to Eretz Yisrael and to Yerushalayim. The Malbim on the Pasuk, Im Eshkochech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. The Malbim says that if we read those psukim carefully, then we'll see that something terribly, terribly important is being said by Klal Yisrael. At the rivers of Babylon, as they are on their way out into exile, Klal Yisrael says, Im Eshkochech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. If I forget you, Yerushalayim, let my right hand forget its cunning. Tidbak l'shoni l'chiki im lo ezkerechi. Let my tongue cleave to the palate of my mouth im lo ezkerechi, if I will not remember you. Im lo a'alet Yerushalayim al rosh simchati, if I will not raise Yerushalayim over the moment of my greatest joy. Says the Malbim that Klal Yisrael here took not one oath, not two oaths, but three. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini, if I forget you, Yerushalayim, let my right hand forget its cunning, is the first oath. The oath of Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini means yemin, represents the right hand. It means action. I have to be ready to do and to act on behalf of Yerushalayim. Tidbak l'shoni l'chiki im lo eskerechi, let my tongue stick to the palate of my mouth if I will not remember you. That is the oath that says I will speak on behalf of Yerushalayim. And if, God forbid, I don't speak, tidbak lishoni lechiki in lo eskerechi, I will speak on behalf of Yerushalayim. I will speak out on behalf of Yerushalayim. I will pray for Yerushalayim. The third oath, Im lo alet Yerushalayim al rosh simchati, if I will not raise Yerushalayim over my greatest moment of joy. Here, Klal Yisrael takes the oath by the rivers of Babylon that they will always remember Yerushalayim. They will think of Yerushalayim even at the moment of greatest joy. The three oaths, therefore, are in thought, in word, and in deed. We are going to stand up for Yerushalayim. With all of the power, with all of our ability, all of our talents, we're going to use all of that leman Yerushalayim, for the sake of Yerushalayim. Each one of us has to become the Ish Yehudi Mordechai, wherever he may be. We can walk the streets of the world, but we have to have Yerushalayim with us wherever we go. We are the generation upon whom tremendous responsibility rests. We dare not be the Mark David Schleifers. We dare not lose our sense of awareness of Jewish history. We dare not deny the gratitude that we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to be able to say it openly, say it clearly, say it from the rooftops, the establishment of the State of Israel, was the work of God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hand of God in history. Chof Chet Iyar, the 28th day of Iyar, the day on which Yerushalayim became ours again, was the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chesed Sheba Malchus. This is the great kindness of the kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is another battle going on for Yerushalayim now, a struggle unlike any of the other struggles during the course of history. And it's a battle where we're in. There are even some Jews who may be ready to relinquish parts of Yerushalayim. The great oath that was taken by the rivers of Babylon, we who are bnei banim of Mordechai, the Ish Yemini, upon us rests the responsibility to again dedicate ourselves to the oath of Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, in thought, in word, and deed. We will think, we will speak, we will talk, and we will act on behalf of Yerushalayim. And what we're going to say, and say it with great joy, Zeh Hayom Osa Hashem Nagila V'Nismecha Bo. This day was made and wrought by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let us be happy and full of joy in it.